I think I was saying on Wednesday night, it must not be a job. It must not be a task. Amen? Yeah? You must want to do this. Can somebody say amen? Yeah, you want to do this. You want to be here. You know? Back in the day, we should ask the question, you want to be here? No, some of you will never catch that. But it's okay. But, you know, you must want it. And you know when you want something, when you really want something, you'll extract all the goodness out of that. Yeah? You'll take out everything that's good in it. Isn't that right? You will delve into it and you will make the best of it. No matter what. No matter what's going on. So, we're talking about father and son. We've been looking into the book of Ruth. We've been extracting and gleaning a lot of things. Amen? How many of you are learning something? You're learning something? I'm certainly learning a lot. And I'm starting to see so much. Where did we stop? We stopped at chapter 2, right? We finished chapter 2? Yeah, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? The New International says, for you, where you will be well provided for. I told you this, the word father means nourisher, but we know that the idea of father is protector, provider, protector, and priest. And we know that order is important. Provider, protector, and priest. Because there's no use trying to be a protector if you cannot provide. Because if if you haven't provided anything, there's nothing to protect. You see why they're important. You can't just say, you can't put those in any order. The order is got to be provider, protector, priest. If you are a provider, you got something to protect. Amen. Yes, amen. Hello? You see the sequence? And if you're a protector, right? You will not only protect in a natural sense, but you protect from all angles. And one of the ways that you will protect your family or protect as a father, you will certainly protect them spiritually, and that makes you priest. Amen. You see how that works? Hello? For those of you who didn't get it before, I hope you got it today. Okay, but we've been sharing this for years. God gave me this many years ago. I mean, actually, if you think about it, the whole issue of father and son, we've been talking about this for a long time. This is nothing new to us. Hello? But like Doc says, repetition is the mother of learning. So you have to repeat some things. Sometimes, some people don't get it the first time. Some people don't get it the second time. Some people don't get it the third time. Some people don't get it the fourth time. Someday by the 100th time, then they'll get it. But that's fine. As long as you get it. Right? As long as you catch this thing, you grab hold of it, and you go forward with what you're learning. No use just, like I was saying, there's no use just taking what you're learning here and keeping it to yourself. You've got to apply it, and then you've got to tell it, you've got to distribute it to somebody else. So, Naomi says, shall I not find a home? Now you see, she's automatically taking a role of a protector. She's taking a role, we haven't seen Geraldine in a long time, nice to see you here. To take the role of the father in a home is to become protector. And so she says, shall I not find a home for you? Shall I not find security for you? Now she has already provided. How do we know that she has provided? Because she has provided by the fact that everyone knows that this is Naomi's daughter-in-law. So let's just change the language a little bit. This is Naomi's son. Everybody knows that. So she has provided that. She has provided also a place of refuge for her daughter-in-law, for her son. She provided a home, even though they had no physical home, but she brought her back to her land. Isn't that so? She also provided in a way that she brought her to a place where there was grain because it was during the barley harvest. Hello? So she provided for her daughter. Now she wants to protect her. Hello? Now she wants to protect the son. Now the protection, the model of protection comes in. She says, shall I not find security for you? Shall I not find a home? That means she's saying, shall I not find a husband for you? Somebody who can take care of you. Hello? You see, this is an important thing. We have to pray these things. I said, you know, this may sound a bit premature what I'm about to say, but I had to pray this prayer even though I got two daughters. And I said, Lord, they must find the right person. We don't, you know what? Listen, no parent wants anything bad for their children. And that's all. Why do most young people have problems with their parents? Because their parents tell them, don't, that fella is not right for you. That fella is not right for you. Don't go, that fella is not right for you. Now, sometimes the parents are wrong. Because I know. First hand. Right? Sometimes they're wrong. But sometimes they're also right. That's why I thank God, you know what? I never modeled my life to anybody else but God. When I decided we're going to have children, we had children. I said, I want to be a good father. Yes, sometimes I'm not the best father. But I said, Lord, I want to be a good father. If I can't be a good father to natural children, how can I be a good father to spiritual children? I want to give them, you know what? They're my children, must never know. And I'm not saying this proudly, but I'm saying this because I want every one of you to get this also. My children must never know what the meaning of I don't have me is. Why? I grew up in a home where my father made everything possible. When I wanted a bicycle, he made sure I got the bicycle. And he was earning a very meager salary. He was earning a very meager salary. So I grew up with this mentality that anything was possible because my daddy can make it happen. Now then when I got saved and I came into the church, I realized, wait a minute, I've got another daddy who can make anything happen. Hello? And so I want to see, my children must see Jesus in me. They must see God in me before they see God in God. You understand what I'm saying? When it comes to the provision and protection part. I must be able. So when I look at human life and we look at how do we live, I sometimes think that like I said, God put us here to become through a test. He put us here through a test. And when you pass this test, we graduate to greater things. But you can also graduate here. The quicker you learn, the quicker you graduate. Is it outcomes based? What is that material? Pace. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. The pace system. You know, the pace system. Adriel and Rowan go to that school where the Christian school where they have pace system. They can finish 1 year's work in 6 months. Yeah. And they can already be in the next year. But they'll be sitting in the same class with the same children, but they are ahead of everybody else. You can be in the same church, you can be with the same group, but you can be ahead of everybody else if you know how to catch up quickly and move along. And so Naomi comes to a daughter-in-law. The father takes the responsibility. I want you to understand, the apostle over your life must provide security. And there must be a spiritual security that is being provided. A word, there must be a word in season that is telling, listen. No use me coming here and telling you about 15 years ago stories that where God is not moving at the moment. Because for every new level, there are new devils. You believe that? So if we are moving at a new level, I have to forewarn you, forearm you for this season. And I want to tell you, in this season, don't fool yourself into thinking you won't be attacked. You will be attacked. Hello? I never said you'll be defeated. I said you'll be attacked. There's a difference. A lot of times people are attacked, but still overcome. Hello? So never be fearful of the attack. Never be afraid of the attack. Never let the attack rule your life. Never let the attack tell you that you cannot do it. And I told you these words like I can't and all that should be buried a long time ago. Because nothing is impossible without God. We say these things. We say these things, but we don't live these things. And I'm challenging you this morning. As a father, I see myself as a father. Now I may not be your father, I told you this before, but I see myself as a father in the house. And I know that God is giving through me spiritual security, and we could providing a home. Because she asked the question, shall I not provide a home? Are we providing a family unit? You see, no use having church for the sake of having church. You understand? We must become a family unit. operating as a family unit so that we can affect other family units. This is a household. This is called a household of faith. That's what we are. We are the household of faith. And we come together as a family unit. And one family unit is strong enough, we'll be able to go out and affect another one and make that positive in their lives and make something positive happen in their lives. So Naomi says, shall I not find a home for you? Verse 2. And then she says, is not Boaz. Now you see, it's nice to say, can I not find a home for you? But there should be somebody that we're connected to. There must be a resource that you're connected to. Now in our case, I'm not saying let me provide a home for you and I don't have a resource. Hello? I have a resource. My resource is SEGI. My resource is the apostolic company called ABC Forum or ABC Ministries. That's the resource. So that's our Boaz. Are you finding me? You hear what I'm saying? And the word Boaz means swift strength, or one with quick strength. Strength that is quickly available or easily available. Those are the connotations of the word Boaz, strength. Okay, so we find that the Bible says that David strengthened himself in the book of Samuel when Ziklag was burnt down, all the children and women were taken away, and the men came back to the city and they were about to stone David. And David says, the Bible says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. I want you to understand that our resource is in the Lord. Are you fine? You hear what I'm saying? Our resource is in the Lord. Yes, our Boaz is SEGI and that forum. But the point is, they are not resourced, or they are not filled with the word by themselves. They are filled with word from the Lord. Are we on the same page? This is from the Lord. So we find, Naomi comes to this, is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Now Boaz, the New King James says, now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley at the threshing floor. You see what protection does? Or what the grace of Father can do? The grace of Father identifies the resource. She identified Boaz, right? The grace of Father also can give you direction and tell you where to go. It wouldn't be misguided. No. There's no misguided. You know, that's why when people come to me and say, I'm going, I don't know where I'm going. No, you can't say you don't know where you're going. You have to know where you're going. Hello? In a few weeks' time, I hope the guys realize it, in a few weeks' time, we'll be going to China. Now, they don't know, some of them have never been to China. They don't know where we're going. They don't know what to expect. They're going to be thinking everything is probably going to be, you know, written in Chinese or whatever. No, don't worry. Things are in English too. Okay? Right? But guess what? A good leader, listen to this, can direct you to your destiny. A great leader can take you there. No, I don't think some of you caught that, but it's okay. A good leader may be able to direct you. A good father will direct you. A great father will take you there. And that's what we've been trying to do for years and years and years in ministry. It's not just direct people, but to take you. Why? Because the Father has already cut the path. The Father is a pioneer. How did Naomi know where this floor was? This threshing floor. How did she know where to send her daughter-in-law? Because she had been there. A great father will go before you. In the case of Naomi, she knew. The Bible says, she says to her daughter-in-law, and I checked this out, she says to her daughter-in-law, who's your, now also you got to understand this about Ruth. Ruth did not know the Jewish culture. Hello? She didn't know Jewish culture. Who knew Jewish culture? Naomi. Ruth did not grow up with Jewish culture. So, check this out. It is very interesting what she tells us. She gives a clear instruction. See, fathers who are protective over their children will give instruction. Hello? And Paul, writing to Timothy, he says to Timothy, he says, Timothy, I am giving you instruction in righteousness. When a father wants to be a protective, he will give instruction. Isn't that so? He would say, don't touch that, darling, that is hot. Don't touch the stove. I'm going to the room. Don't touch the stove. Don't put your hand near it. Don't come in the kitchen. That's instruction. Why? Because it's protective. Because he wants to protect the child. He doesn't want the child to be hurt. He doesn't want the child to get have an accident in the kitchen or whatever. So Naomi says to Ruth, remember, again, you've got to keep this in the back of your mind. Ruth was a Moabite. Naomi was a Jew. Both of them, two different cultures. They looked different. They dressed different. They talked different. They had all different differences, so many differences about them. But when they come into relationship of father and son, all differences are put away. Because in the kingdom of God, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. That's why you can have male sons and female sons, and you can have all kinds of sons. You can have lazy sons. Hello? We got some lazy sons. You can have some very jacked up sons. You can have sons that have a don't care attitude. You can even have a prodigal son. Hello? You can have a very energetic son. You can have all these different types of sons. You can have the son that is always looking out for your best interest. You can have a son that is your protector. There's different types of sons. See, you come into the kingdom of God, but ultimately all are sons. All are sons. Naomi says to Ruth, in fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now see, she was privy to information. The father is sometimes privy to information that the son won't have. But the son needs it. Ah, you see? The father is privy to information that the son doesn't have, but the son needs that information. Because that's the information that's going to unlock destiny. You are one relationship away from your breakthrough. One relationship. Anything can happen. You don't know who that relationship is. You don't know where that relationship is going to happen. You don't know when you're going to meet this person. You are one relationship. There was a car guard recently that got given a Mercedes-Benz because he showed kindness to this man in the mall every time this man came. How's that? It happened in Lucia Mall. Lalusha Mall, right here. A car guard. The guy gave him a Mercedes-Benz. Because he was always, every time he came there, I think the guy was being overseas or something. Instead of selling his car, he gave the car. You are one relationship away from your breakthrough. There was an article a few years ago in a magazine of a couple that was sitting in the roadside cafe, alfresco, eh? Sitting al fresco. They were sitting outside on a roadside cafe in Italy or somewhere. And a man walked up to them and he put a blank check on the table and he said, put an amount on the check. Whatever the amount you put on the check will be yours. And these people thought he was fooling around. So they just acted stupid and they just said, okay, they just put 100,000 euro or something like that. He gave them the check and he walked away. Don't know them, never seen him, he never saw them, they don't know him, nothing. Just a couple sitting having coffee. 100,000 euro they wrote on the check as a joke. But then the husband said, you know what, let's just go and check. Maybe this check is real. Took it to the bank, real check. 100,000 euro. I'm trusting the Lord for 100 million euro. 100 million euro is a billion rand. Right? Now, I'm agree. But I said, God, give me 100 million euro. I will give half away. Right? But I'll still have 500. 500 million rands. Yeah? I'll still have 500 million rands. Of which I won't tell y'all about. I'll dress just like this. I'll drive the same car. I'll do all exactly the same things. Only when I travel overseas, I will spend my money. I'll keep it in a Swiss bank account. All you all know, I haven't got it already. If you'll hear me, I'm going to Switzerland. Get very happy. Okay, if you'll hear that Malcolm is going to Switzerland, then you'll know Swiss numbered account. Because that's where I'm keeping the money. I'm telling you now. Or the Cayman Islands, whichever. But listen. She had information that she was privy to. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Let's just jump there quickly. Revelation chapter 2. But there are many other places where this connotation is given. But in Revelation chapter 2, from verse 17, says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna." To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. The church in the church at Pergamum was a church that was loaded with mixture. God is saying, I don't want you to have mixture in your relationships. I don't want you to have mixture in your thinking. I don't want you to have mixture in your operating system. Everything must be pure. God is looking for a virgin. God is looking for a people that know how to operate and live with virgin mentality. Virgin mentality does not have mixture. Hello? Are you following me? So God is saying to this. Because remember, when we use the word virgin, we understand that the word virgin means pure. Isn't that so? We understand that the word virgin means pure, and purity is what we're looking for. And purity, God is looking for a pure church. God is looking for a virgin. Anyone born of a virgin, meaning pure heart, pure birth, pure lifestyle. And so we look at this, and the Bible says that to him who overcomes. Mixture. To him who overcomes mixture. To him who overcomes the spirit of Balaam. To him who overcomes the spirit of Nicolaitanism. You know what's the spirit of Nicolaitanism? Nicolaitanism was the rule of the people. To him who overcomes. The Bible says, I will give some of the hidden manna. Not all. Some. Why? Because we see in part, we prophesy in part. God can't give everything. If God gave us everything, we'll go off our heads. We will not be able to comprehend the greatness of God. We will go off our mind. We will lose our mind. Our mind is too small. Our brain is too limited to fathom everything. That's what the Bible says. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has got in store for him. Because we will not be able to handle the fullness of God in one go. So the Bible says he delivered them. Now there are many other scriptures in the book of Ephesians. It talks about God revealing the mysteries. Right? But you see, it takes a father, or heart of father, or grace of father, to decode the mystery. Are you following me this morning? The grace of father will decode the mystery and deposit that into the life of the child. I remember when Kiana was born, you know, firstborn children, you go out of your way to do things, you know. When Kiana was born, we bought all the equipment to make the mash. You know, to blend the food, and we bought those that brown thing with a, you know, to make the carrot soft so the child don't choke. We had that apple thing, you know, you put the fruit inside with a net over the thing so the child can have like a lollipop. You saw that? You saw the thing, right? The juice, the child mustn't choke. And Trinity came along, just gave it apple, right? We forgot about all that thing. All those things are out the window. But the point is that we are always, for our children, we want to make it easy. Isn't that so? We want to make it easy. I mean, even what I was saying. Every father here, every parent here, every child here in this room, every adult in this room who was once a child, grew up, and now have children of their own, want to make life better for their children. However, that may be, you want to do something that makes it a little bit better for your children. Right? Maybe it's not everything that you want to give them, but there is something that you will do. Now, spiritual fathering is very similar. But spiritual fathering is not sentimentalism. Hello? This is not a sentimental act. I like what Doc says. I like what Doc says. You know, Doc says, if you're thinking about, if you become sentimental, because when you become sentimental, you'll worry if your spiritual father forgot your birthday. You get excited, you get angry about that. Oh, I forgot my birthday. You know how hard it is to remember everybody's birthday. Although I put everybody's birthday on the phone and try to get a message, sometimes in the middle of that, you know, I'll get that message coming at in the morning, and sometimes I get carried away with doing something, and I'll forget maybe to read that message again to send a message. So if I forgot your birthday, it don't mean I forgot you. You know what I'm saying? But some people are very technical about that. No, you remember that person's birthday, he didn't phone me for my birthday. Okay? So, you know how many people don't phone me for my birthday? Now, I mean, I should be the one getting upset here, because you've only got one birthday to remember. I got over 100 and some odd birthdays to remember here. You know what I'm saying? You only got one birthday to remember. Alright? Or for those of you that are remembering Verona's birthday, to two birthdays, the most. Right? If you remember the children's birthday, four. But that's it. Nothing more. Now, we can get upset. I can get upset about that. I can get upset. People don't remember my birthday. You know? And plus, to make it worse, this year I was overseas on my birthday. Some people actually sent me SMSs and emails. Wow, I was amazed. I was there, and even they got my phone number, and the number that was there we were using, and they sent me messages. That was great. I was excellent, excited about that. But now I should be upset about that, don't you think? And you know what? I should even be more upset. My birthday is on Valentine's Day. How you can forget that? And you know what I got used to? I got used to growing up where nobody used to forget my birthday because it was on Valentine's Day. So when I was at youth club, I was at church, everybody used to remember. I mean, I would get the most amount of cards, the most amount of, not Valentine's cards now, I'm talking about birthday cards, right? Most amount of birthday cards, most amount of wishes, most amount of phone calls on my birthday, from the time I was little. Everybody remembered. But we can't be sentimental about these things. Hello? We cannot be sentimental about these things. If I didn't visit you, you can't be sentimental. If you want me to visit you, make an appointment. I'll come. I promise you. But I don't like to just rock up at people's house. You know? They might be busy doing something. And you just rock up there. See, all of y'all's minds are dirty. I mean, they could be doing work. You know? Now, you might be busy. I don't want to just turn up at your house. Even in the evenings. Like sometimes I want to visit people in the evenings, you know. I want to go in the evening. Okay, what if they're not expecting me or they're doing something else? What if they're not at home? I usually phone. But I'm just saying, we cannot be sentimental about these things. If you really, really want me to visit you, invite me. Hey, you set a date, you set an appointment. Me, when I set a date and appointment, I will make that date and appointment. I'll make it. Even if the flights are delayed, I'll make it. Even if they cancel my flight, I'll take another flight. I'll be there. But I don't want to be sentimental. We don't want to be sentimental about that. You understand? We're not going to be sentimental about that. So I'm not going to be upset about it. I'm not going to get disturbed about it. But you see, the Bible says that some, if you overcome this mixture, you'll get some hidden manner. You'll get some mystery. But who unlocks this mystery? The grace of Father. Because Naomi says to Ruth, she says, he is winnowing, she says, in fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Look at that. Specific, specific, specific. She says, he is winnowing tonight. Tonight. She gives him a specific time, a specific place. I mean, she's privy to this information. Do you think that Boaz put up an ad in the paper, tonight I shall be on the threshing floor winnowing barley in the local gazette? You think he did that? You think he told everybody, hey, tonight, I'm winnowing barley. You know what? Because that was not a bloody exciting thing to do. You know what I'm saying? It was not exciting. It was not fun. It was work. It was work. And to do this at night, it was work. Right? Nobody goes around broadcasting their work, you know. Unless, you know, you're traveling for work and then you want everyone to know you're traveling and whatever, you'll tell everybody. But other than that, you don't tell anybody. Work is work. You don't make a big thing of it. But she was privy to information. And what did she do with that information? You see, an accurate father will not keep that information to themselves. An accurate father will relay that information so that the son can benefit. Hello? An accurate father will relay the information so that the son can benefit. And Revelation tells us, he that overcomes mixture, will have some of the hidden manna. Now, maybe you want hidden manna. Friday night, this Friday went past, we were at another church's anniversary. They were celebrating 16 years. And we were invited. And there was a man speaking, and I won't mention his name. But let me tell you something. I was sitting there, embarrassed for him. This man has a title of doctor, so and so. And let me tell you something. If I take Jafia and give Jafia a theme to speak on, Jafia will go 10 times better than what this man spoke. And he's a grown man. You can fill in the blank. I'm sitting over there. I don't know where to look. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to feel. I was getting frustrated. I was getting irritated because the man had nothing. You know what I'm saying? Nothing. Beyond nothing. He had nothing. He quoted scripture out of context. He put the wrong scriptures in the place that he was. So I'm thinking, God, and this man. Now, only reason this man gets all this attention because he got money. He's a rich man. He's a businessman. In my opinion, he should shut his mouth, stay in business. He shouldn't open his mouth anywhere else. Actually, he embarrasses himself when he opens his mouth. And you know what? I'm not scared to tell him. If I meet him personally, face to face, I will tell him, please, bro, don't preach. Don't preach. My Sunday school children can do a far better job. Far better job. And you know what? We need to be careful. We need to be careful. We got some hidden manna in this local house. Now, they may have come across like proud. But I was not. It's not proud. Believe me, it was irritation for the kingdom's sake. It was irritation. I'm sitting over there and I'm thinking, Lord, you know, we started. I am here to talk to you all about the church. C-H-U-R-C-H. The you are the church. The bloody hell, man. Tell me something I don't know. The two letters in the middle of the word church, you are the church. God, come on. Come on. And the old message was only cliches upon cliches upon cliches. There was nothing there that was word-based. And like I said, took scripture out of context, quoted scripture out of context, put it in the wrong place. And I'm thinking, Father in heaven. And he had the audacity to walk up without even a Bible, without even a piece of note, just talking. Like you got so much, yeah. But you know when it comes out of the mouth, we know it's coming out from the other end. I'm serious. Now we are privileged. We are privileged. We have some hidden manna here. And only when you step outside and listen to somebody else, you realize, wow. Oh, my God, these people don't know what they're talking about. And you'll be shocked. I mean, I don't know if anyone else had this experience, but I can't listen to TBN anymore. If I put TBN on and I listen to some of those fellas there, my pressure starts going up. Benny Hinn is now selling, what are you selling? Shawls, blessed shawls. You see, when you got no more, nothing else to say. And Benny Hinn is an anointed man of God. I will not take that away from him. But you know what? When you hit your peak in a season and don't know how to move to the next level, you know what will happen? You'll have to sell shawls to maintain your ministry. You'll have to sell oil to maintain your ministry. You'll have to sell towels to maintain your ministry. Just now they're going to be selling underwear. No. You think this is a lie? Hear the story here. This is a real, true story. This guy in Malaysia filled his church up. Guess what was his specialty? Guess what his specialty was? What he could pray for and believe God for? Take a guess. Anyone want to guess? Some of you all are thinking it. What you're thinking is right. And he had an equal amount of women and men in his church because he could pray for both. Enlargements of certain organs. Yeah. That was his specialty. And he marketed the church on that. And the church got full. How you like that? How you like that? Now you see, there's a lot of gimmicks and tricks. I got no time for gimmicks and tricks in the kingdom of God. I got no time for that. I got no time for telling you stories. I want to teach you something. I want to teach you principles that you will live for the rest of your life with. And you know what you'll do? You'll leave a legacy to your children's children. So don't be fooled by gimmicks and tricks. We can have gimmicks and tricks. We can fill the church up. It's easy to fill the church up. How come these gimmicks and tricks? How come these people who use gimmicks and tricks don't go and use it to all the rich people? They only use it to all the poor people. You try selling a blessed shawl to a multimillionaire. You think he'll buy it? You think he'll buy a blessed shawl? He's not wondering, blessed, what the hell do you want me to sell? Buy a blessed shawl for? But you go to a poor man. You know who makes casinos rich? Poor people. You know who makes all these pyramid schemes, people rich? Poor people. Not rich people. Let me tell you something. A rich person will not take his money and put it in a pyramid scheme. He won't. It's a poor man who got his last 100,000. He's thinking, I'll live, I can multiply this thing. Take it, put it, gone. I heard the other day, a friend of mine put 500,000 into that pyramid scheme that went bust. I wanted to kick him. I reckon I didn't know this man had 500,000. But he was saving that money for years. He was saving to buy a house. He was saving for years and years and years. He took it. Why? Because he was a poor man. Not that he was. Now you may say 500,000, hey, that's not a poor man. No, poor man. The same people who took those pyramid schemes came to me. I said, no, thank you. Then I can bring the church money, we'll multiply the thing. I said, thank you, I'm not poor. I'm very rich. I don't need your money. You see, poor people will run after these things. Poor people will run after. A poor man will go to the casino hoping to eat it big. When you have poverty mentality, rich, get rich quick scheme. Any get rich quick scheme. And that's what's happened in the church. People are spiritually poor also. So they will run to buy a shawl. Hello? People are spiritually poor. They will want somebody to anoint them with oil. People are spiritually poor. Leave the rich, leave the money story out now. Let's not talk about that part. That's another subject altogether. I'm talking about spiritually poor people who have nothing and they will go for anything. You know that old adage? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. You know that saying? How many people you know fall for everything? A prophet comes, prophesies. A friend of mine was telling me the other day, a prophet came from somewhere and he prophesied a few years ago, this was. And he prophesied, you're going to die, Ivan. You're going to die. You're going to meet an accident. Hey! What kind of prophecy is that? You're going to die. You're going to meet an accident and die. You know what happened to that fellow? For 3 weeks, he got paralyzed. He couldn't drive. He was frightened to go anywhere. His wife was in a state of... She was finished. She was... I mean, listen, if somebody just dies, they die, you'll handle it. But if you're already told you're going to die, and if you're not a strong... Say like me now, if God tells me I'm going to die, I'll prepare. I'll be happy. I'll write out everything. I'll tell you exactly how to do things. But he never tell me I'm going to die yet. You know what I'm saying?
So don't worry.
But my point is, if somebody tells you, the man interpreted the prophecy wrong. Instead of giving him a warning that you might die spiritually over something that he was doing, man says you're going to die physically. The poor children went into a state of depression. The wife went into a state of depression. It took them 2 years to get out of it. The man was fearful. He was so scared he didn't want to drive anyway. He didn't want to drive at all. And he's a businessman. He's a businessman. And he has to go out for the business. He has to. Otherwise all his debt and everything will be in trouble. Now look at that. You see, if we don't have a father to guide. So what happened? That church got into a frenzy. The whole church started praying for 2 weeks. They started praying. Fasting and praying and fasting and praying. Then somebody realized, no man, wait a minute. This is not on. This is not on. This can't be God. God don't speak like this. God don't speak. God does not tell you things like that to scare you. Especially if you're somebody who's not ready for death. Hello? When my father was going to die, I knew 2 weeks beforehand, I knew the date he was going to die. I knew it. 2 weeks beforehand. I knew the exact day he was going to die. Remember that Sunday morning, some of you wondered why I prayed for my father like that? Do you remember that Sunday morning he came to church, the last Sunday he came to church? And some people even went to my mother and said, but why Malcolm prayed like that? You know, why he prayed? Remember, my mother got upset. My mother said, why you prayed like that? Like he was already gone. Like he was gone. Because I couldn't tell my mother that. I couldn't tell my mother that God had already revealed to me on a certain day he was going to die. I couldn't tell my mother that. I couldn't tell my sisters. I couldn't tell anybody. I couldn't even tell Verona. I didn't tell nobody. But if people were wise enough, they would have caught the way I prayed. You understand? The way I prayed that day, I already knew. There are some things that God you'll be privy to. And so that information must be taken, and that information must be used for the advancement of the kingdom. And the Bible says, she said, tonight he will be there, specific time. He will be on the winnowing floor, specific place. It has to be specifics. God does not give random things. You know, if you go into a congregation of 5,000 and say, especially if you come into Chatsworth and if there's 5,000 people and you say, Lalita, the Lord is talking to you, Lalita. Hey, the 5,000 people, there'll be about 6 Lalitas there. Worse, if you use a name like if you're talking a guy's name and you say, what do you say? I can't even think of one Indian name now. Give me an Indian name. Eh? I say, Bobby. Bobby, God is talking to you. Bobby, God is calling you. Now, we're not Americans. We're not Bobby. The other day, they were talking about Bobby Brown. And they were saying, Bobby Brown. And she's saying, Bobby, who's this Bobby Brown? So she thought it was Bobby the doll. If you come into a meeting, say, 5,000 people, and say, God is showing me there's a Bobby here. A Bobby. God is saying, hey, there'll be about 20 Bobbies. Because there'll be Bushnai Bobby, this Bobby, that Bobby, you know, Fisherman Bobby. You get all that. You call a guy, God is specific. God is specific. I'm not fooled by this. See, back in the day, we were fooled by that. We used to go into a meeting and God, hey, you know, one day I was in a meeting. This was how God works. This is how God works. I was in a meeting in a physical environment. The building used to be called physical environment, where they do all the plans and all. What do they call that building now? Town planning? Is it town planning building? Right, it used to be called physical environment. But we were in that building, we were having a service. And as I'm ministering to these people there in that basement, the Lord gave me like a French word. I couldn't even pronounce that word. It sounded very French to me. So I said it, but I didn't pronounce it accurately. And there was a woman there, there was a French woman, and there was her name. That lady got saved that day. She came by accident to the meeting. This lady was after one guy. She liked the guy. So she came because she liked the guy or something like that. She came there. I called her by her name. She nearly died. She got a shock of her life. Actually, everybody got shocked because, I mean, here's this Indian fella trying to pronounce a French word. You know? And I said it almost right. Called her out. Prayed for her. The next day, I heard testimony. The next day, I don't know where this lady got tracks from. I don't know who told her about this thing. This lady is a heathen. She's living in France. She moved to South Africa. She got a job or whatever. Standing at the entrance of that building, handing out tracks the next day. I never saw her again. I never been back there after that. But the person who invited me to the meeting told me what happened. And if you saw this woman that day when I called her out, she was dressed like a prostitute. I'm telling you. She was dressed like a prostitute. She was dressed, I mean, the makeup was unbelievable, the clothes, the revealing clothes was unbelievable. The next day, they reckon there was a transformation in this lady. The way she dressed, the way she walked, she completely changed the entire image. Even they couldn't recognize her when she came into the building. Now, you're telling me, you see, that's how God is. God is specific. If God want to do something, He's going to do something specific. So this lady gives specific. You see, the Spirit, the grace of Father will give you specific instruction. Tonight, He will be there. But then she goes on with even more specific instruction. And we're going to catch up on this. Let me start the first one before we go. But I just want to start on this one. The Bible says, she gives it now in verse 3. Listen to this. In verse 3, she says, therefore. You see, the New King James starts off with, therefore. Why therefore? Therefore tells you that something came before that. So she's telling you, listen, the man is over there. This is what I want you to do. First she gave direction to where the grace, where she was going to meet the destiny, or where the destiny was. First she gave direction to that. First she gave specifics. Then the Father, grace of Father says to her, she says, therefore, wash yourself. First instruction. Wash yourself. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26, you have been washed, you have been sanctified by the washing of the Word of God. You see, if we want to tap into a grace, if we want to tap into something, we have to first know how to wash ourselves. Now, we've been washed in the blood. Hello? We've been washed in the blood. That was for sanctification. But for continual sanctification, you have to be washed in the Word. Hello? She says, she gives five instructions, and five is the number of grace. She says, wash yourself. You see, I want you to understand something. That the process of washing through the Word is a daily process. Right? You take a bath every day, I hope. Right? You take a bath, some people 3-4 times a day. During summer, come on, let's be honest. During summer, you want a bath, you want to stand in the shower all day. You don't want to come out of there. You get so frustrated the moment you come out, you're sweating. Yeah, I just took a bath. That's why some people are so foolish. Some of them want to have a cold bath. Don't have a cold bath. Have a lukewarm bath. Actually, if you have a cold bath, even if it's better, have a boiling hot bath. When you come out, you come back to temperature, to the room temperature, and you've raised your temperature higher than. That's why, like, some people wonder why I drink hot tea. In the summertime, I drink hot tea because it raises your temperature, and then when your temperature comes down, you feel you within range. You know what I mean? This is called wisdom, right? That was for free. So she says to Naomi, to Ruth, wash yourself. There has to be this cleansing process, but I can't tell you to wash yourself. If I've not exposed you to what you should wash yourself with. So we have to expose you to the Word. We have to give you the tools. We have to give you the witness. Right? We have to put something in your hands. So I have to give you information. Now remember, like I said, Ruth does not know the culture of Naomi. Ruth does not know the culture of Boaz. So this is now a cultural thing. Where she's taking, she's linking this culture to a spiritual dimension, but at the same time she's getting a result that is going to lead to destiny. Now I want you to understand something, that to take dominion, okay, and your dominion, listen to this, your dominion is linked to your obedience. If you're writing notes, write that down. Your dominion is linked to your obedience. She had to listen to the five instructions her mother-in-law gave her to become the owner of the field. Remember, at one stage, she was a gleaner. Now she's the owner. Hello? You think God can't do that? Today you could be a worker in a company. Tomorrow God can make you the owner. Nothing impossible. Nothing impossible. It's just that, you know the problem with us is? We can't imagine it. Oftentimes we can't imagine it. And if you can't imagine it, you'll never have it. Many things in my life, and I'm using my life because I got no other one else's life to use. In my life, almost everything I ever did in my life, I imagined it beforehand. If I wanted to go to a place, I would imagine that thing. I remember in 2001, I was very fascinated by the Petronas Towers in Malaysia. And I said, Lord, I want to see those Petronas Towers with my own eyes. And I started to imagine myself standing in front of those Petronas Towers. I also imagined myself going on that building, but unfortunately, Osama blew up the Twin Towers in America, so they didn't allow anybody to go on any other Twin Towers. And especially if you're our color skin. But guess what? Imagined it, prayed about it, conceived it, confessed it, received it, and then did it. I did it. When I wanted a car, and when I wanted to upgrade my car, and a car with all the controls on the steering and everything, I used to imagine myself driving. When I'm driving a car with a normal steering, I used to imagine pressing the button. I should change the volume with the other hand, but imagine I'm pressing the button here, the volume is going up, the volume is going up. I should do things like that. I was alone in the car. People should think I'm mad. If you were sitting with me, you think I'm off. Now, I never should do it when anybody else is around, because I know they won't understand my faith. They won't understand my level of faith. They won't understand my actions. But I did these things. I've been driving cars like that now for the last couple of years. You put yourself in that position. Now, that doesn't mean that you just have to imagine it's going to happen. But that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you got the faith to believe and to back it up, and you got the word to believe and back it up. So she says to her, wash yourself. Why? Because before you present yourself to anything or anybody, before you present yourself to somebody, you have to be clean. We want to present this gospel to the world. And if your life is not clean, the world will see it. Let me tell you something. You can have the best looking outfit on, but if you never bath, that outfit not going to stop people from knowing you never bath. They're not going to stop. If you're a dirty pig, I like saying that the way I said it now. My grandfather used to say, he couldn't say monkey. He used to always say monkey. You know, the monkeys in the office, he used to say. And my grandfather had stories. One day, he told us a story. He reckoned, you know, I was fishing with a pier. He reckoned that shark, I was really mistaken. The shark jumped out, bit the fella in the head and went back in the water. he used to tell us stories. I used to love his stories. And he used to say dirty pig. He used to say like that. So if you are that kind of a person who's filthy, who don't have any personal hygiene, yeah, there's some people who don't have personal hygiene. Don't worry about. They just don't care. Listen, I'm not a neat person in terms of the way I dress. I'm not like finicky about being neat, but I'm very finicky about cleanliness. At home, I'm very finicky about certain things. My shoes must be in a certain way. You'll never see in my room, in my house. You'll never see one shoe lying there and one shoe lying there. If you come home and see my shoes lying like that, that definitely I didn't put it like that. And Trinity knows the way I like things that's done. Because Scanner will take my shoes and fling it in the room. Trinity will take my shoes together and put it together. If I take my tackies off in the lounge and say, bring my clogs in the room, she'll take my shoes, she'll leave it. But the hair shoes, she'll throw anyway. But my shoes, she put it together. When I get off the bed, when I slide my leg off the bed, I like my feet to just fall into my shoes. In the dark, I just know where my shoes are. And if my shoe is not there, I know Verona took it. Because no one else will touch it. No, like she's something, you know, maybe she wore my shoes and went to the bathroom or whatever. Certainly. But I'm not neat about, I'm not worried about the way I look. Like my hair can be messed up, you know, but as long as it's clean and things like that. But some people, they're like, as long as they're putting on a lacquer, boots, suit and tie. If you're not washed, hey, let me tell you, the world will notice. The world will see it. And the world will say the first thing they'll say, hey, you're supposed to be a Christian. Isn't that so? First thing they say, you're supposed, and who are they crucifying? Christ. And yet you are the dog that's supposed to die, but they'll crucify Christ. They don't mention your name, they mention Christ's name. So first thing is wash. We're going to come back to the rest of it. But dominion Your dominion is linked to your obedience. This morning, if you want to touch the dominion that God has given you, you want to rule in the midst of your enemy, learn to be obedient. There are sometimes if you say you my son, or if you want to operate, we want to operate as father and son, I will give you instruction. And I give you some stupid instructions just to see if you're going to follow it. Remember the days when we first started this church and I used to put all kinds of tests? How many of you remember that? I remember everything was a test. And then after that, when I used to ask questions, normally no one was to answer because everyone used to think it's a trick question. But you see, if I didn't test some people, they wouldn't be here with us. Because we had to put you through some tests. Certain things will adjust your thinking. And certain things will adjust your lifestyle. And you have to know the balance of how to adjust your thinking and adjust your lifestyle. All in the same stride. All in the same walk. So this morning, we're going to stop there. Our time is up.